Amen. Good morning, everyone.
So for those of you who do not know me, my name is Bex and I'm part of the team here, and it is wonderful to see you all here this morning. It's wonderful to come together in fellowship. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at what characteristics made up the community of believers in the book of Acts. So we'll be exploring how to adopt as much of this practice as possible so that we remain active and engaged disciples of Jesus Christ. So you can get ready with me this morning by grabbing your Bibles, whether they're physical or electronic, whatever works for you, and turning to Acts chapter 2. So when we look at the Bible, it's important that we look at it from two levels. One is the context. We need to look at the social, the cultural, the historical, and the political context to which the letter, or in this situation, the book, is written. Then, following on from this, we can explore the Bible from a divine level. Why have we got that book or letter? What did God intend for us to get from reading it? How is this relevant to us today in the 21st century? So let's begin by looking at the context. Acts is the book that comes after the Gospels, the four books telling the good news of Jesus. And Acts was written by one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Anyone remember? Is the answer already up there? Yeah. Well done for those of you paying attention. Yeah, so Luke, he wrote this book. And we know that Luke was a doctor by profession, and he came from Antioch in Syria. So Luke wrote one of these gospels, self-titled Luke. And Acts begins where Luke left off. So it would have been one book, two volumes. We've got a bit of space in between them now in our Bibles. So let me give you a brief brief story of the first chapter in Acts. Okay, so Acts reminds us of the truth of Jesus' resurrection. There were multiple people over multiple days and multiple times who witnessed Jesus alive again after he was crucified upon a cross. Jesus left no doubt that he was alive. He showed his scars. He went round. He spoke to people. And Jesus again reminded his followers in chapter 1, verse 5, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So if you had heard that, you would have been, oh, yeah, it's coming tomorrow. Well, that's how I would probably see that. Who knows, not many days from now. What does that mean? So just before Jesus' ascension, when he was lifted up and covered by a cloud, when he returned to be with God, he reminded his followers that their desires and aspirations shouldn't be of the world and what they can get in the earthly sense, but should be about living for God, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit and going and spreading the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. What final words we have from Jesus? What display of his divinity, how divine he is. So Jesus' disciples are now pumped, I'm guessing. Some of them would have been like, yes, great, excellent, I'm excited, I'm ready for what's coming. Some of them may be being headless chickens. Ah, Jesus has gone, what do I do now? Ah, I don't know which camp you'd sit in, I'd probably fall in a bit of both. But there was a feeling that something was coming. Were the disciples ready for the mission that Jesus had set before them? And so after Jesus left, they decided to vote in another member to make up their disciples because Judas was gone by then. And then we reach chapter 2. And Acts 2 then gives us a glimpse into how the first church was formed after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost. And from this outpouring came boldness and courage for the apostles, because the Holy Spirit came within them and flowed through them as they taught those who had seen this outpouring, bringing teaching and correction and challenge. And there was many new believers. There was rapid growth. It says in Acts 2:41 that there were about 3,000 people who received the word of God and was baptized. Wow. If you joined us last week, we had four people who either made a first commitment to Jesus or a reignition commitment to Jesus. And it was exciting. There was four believers. Did people go home feeling warm in their hearts and excited? Can you imagine then 3,000 people? Can you imagine if 3,000 people turned up on our doorstep and all wanted to come into this church? We would have a problem. We'd be meeting in the park or all the way up the road, wouldn't we? Wow. Transformation. And then Luke continues to tell us what life looked like after the altar call. We get to the verse that we are looking at this morning, Acts 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This verse shows us what the church should be about. Four practices that were foundational in the early church and that should be foundational in our church today. It doesn't talk about what buildings you should have, what style the worship should be, how much of a budget you need, how high-tech and flashy everything needs to be. It talks about practices of devotion. So devotion, the Collins Dictionary say it's great love, affection or admiration for someone. It's a commitment to a particular activity. The early church were persistent. They continued steadfastly. They gave of themselves fully. This wasn't a casual Christianity where they just met together weekly. It wasn't a, I'll attend that prayer meeting when I have time or when it fits my schedule. These were believers who reordered their lives around Jesus. So let's look at the first thing that they devoted themselves to, the apostles' teaching. They wanted to know the truth. They didn't devote themselves to opinions or following the latest trends. They devoted themselves to the scripture, the Bible, the teaching of Jesus' chosen people. And they positioned themselves in a place where they had to rely on the teaching. They needed the apostles to communicate with them who Jesus was and what he had done. And many of them have been drawn to the crowd when the Holy Spirit came down. It must have been a really weird time, let's be honest. When the Holy Spirit fell, people began speaking in tongues of every nation and language. People that didn't speak them, those languages. You know, they said even the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were people that society said, oh, they're not that smart, they're not that great. But even the Gentiles, even the people that weren't as educated, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, met with all people. And many of these have been drawn to that crowd. They'd seen the work of the Holy Spirit, and signs will draw the crowd. You've seen it maybe on the street. If something happened, a crowd draws quite easily, doesn't it? But it's the word of God that keeps people there. In Romans 10, 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. That's how faith is built up, through hearing. You know, faith was birthed in the hearts of these people, and they continued to grow in faith the more that they heard and read scriptures. Over again, throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament, so before Jesus was even around, and after he was around, we are told of the importance of reading and learning the scriptures. In Joshua 1, it tells us, study this book of instruction carefully. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives the illustration of two men, the foolish builder and the wise builder. The man who built his house on the sand and the man who built his house on the rock. And Jesus said, the one who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the man who builds upon the rock, upon the word of God. And these are just two of many verses that challenge us to be people who actually open and learn from our Bibles. People who hear the things of God. You know, what are your ears tuning into? What do you let them hear? There are many Bibles that sit and collect dust, and I don't want to ever find myself with a dusty Bible. You know, reading scripture, having scripture on your heart is transformative. In the letter of James, in chapter 1, it reads, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. We need to be people who are devoted to the Word of God and who live it out. Just reading the Bible is nice, but it's not going to do much for you. We've got to apply the truth of the Bible to our life. Because if we neglect the Word, we don't become more loving. We become more confused. If we neglect the Word, we don't become freer. We become more vulnerable. How can the Holy Spirit, when we need scriptures to come and be with us, when we're feeling all these different emotions, how can we have that if we don't even read the scripture in the first place? How can the Holy Spirit give us a nudge and a reminder if we've not got a thing, a storage thing of things that he can remind us of? Like the early church, we need to be people who are filled with the Spirit and grounded in teaching, and they come together. So a question for you to ask yourself is, are you devoted to scripture? So I'm not asking for a show of hands, you don't have to respond now, but think about this. Are you actually devoted to scripture? So let's look at the verse that we're looking at again this morning. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And the word fellowship here is the Greek word koinonia. It's a deep shared life, a partnership, not surface level church smiles, hi, you know, it's not, oh, nice to see you next week. Like, it's not that. It's lives that are actually intertwined, who are actually doing life together, sharing the joy and the pain, sharing on the top of the mountain and in the valleys. It's sitting around a table and having a meal and the kids chucking food everywhere. It's taking someone to the hospital. Even if you really don't like going to the hospital, you're going alongside of your friend. It's mess. It's the real life. It's not hidden. You know, church, however welcoming, can be a really isolating place. You know, I've walked into churches and I felt so invisible. But that's not God's intentions. Even from the very beginning, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, God shows us that as people, we are made to do life together. God never designed faith to be alone. And if you joined us The other week when we were praying for the persecuted church, that was one thing that we spoke about, was actually what is most, like, the hardest thing for a lot of these people who are persecuted is the isolation. And there are many of them who, when asked for prayer, don't pray for the persecution to stop. They pray that they would find people to do that journey with together. Which I just think, man, we're missing something. A relationship with God is personal. When he saves you, he doesn't leave you. Being saved by God brings you out of darkness. And the enemy would love to isolate you. He would love to drag you back into that place. Because the enemy fights unity. Because isolation kills faith. But fellowship brings you into community. Godly friendships help to champion you on to the light. They champion you on in your walk with God. Iron sharpens iron. You know, healing happens in community. Accountability happens in community. Growth happens in community. And faith grows in community. It's contagious. When someone gets up and they share the good news of what Jesus is doing in their life, it's like, come on, what are you going to do for my life? What are you going to do for my friend's life? It's exciting. It's something that becomes contagious. You don't just need Jesus in your heart. You need God's people in your life. And it's important that you don't just have fellowship with his people, but with him directly. We also need to have koinonia with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7, it says, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleansing us from all sin." If we are in true fellowship with God, we should be transformed. We should be behaving differently. We should be speaking differently. Our decisions will be different from other people. It should impact what we get involved in and what we don't. You know, true koinonia with God means living a life for him. Part of how we know how to live God's way is from us being devoted to his word. How are we supposed to know how we live or how we're supposed to live for God if we're not picking up our Bibles and reading about it? We need to read and learn and put into practice his word. How can we learn how to live as Christians with other people if we're not in fellowship, if we're not choosing to go along to a church or a meal around someone's house or a prayer meeting? How can we listen if we're not hearing preachers, if we're not getting involved in things, podcasts and stuff? Now, the internet is great, but there is a lot of unhelpful stuff too. You know, we've got to be wise with what we're listening to, with what we're reading. Are we doing it to become more like Christ and learn more about him? Or is there something behind it that we need to deal with? God wants a relationship with you. With all your quirks and your beautiful weirdness, he wants deep friendship with you. So a question for you to ask yourself is, are you devoted to fellowship with God and with other believers? Because you need both. It's not optional. It's hand in hand. It's both. I want to encourage you all that Acts 2:42 doesn't describe a complicated or unachievable church. It describes a devoted church, one that is devoted to the Word of God, the Bible, one that is devoted to the people of God, one that is devoted to God and his presence.
And I want to encourage you, go away and read the book of Acts. If you want some stirring in your spirit, go read it. You know, if that sounds too crazy, just read the first five chapters. You know, give yourself a go. Go and see how the church grew and expanded across Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If we want to be like the early church and have power and experiences that they had, we must take on the teachings from Acts 2 and implement the priorities of the early church. Devotion shapes direction. You know, this isn't a casual devotion, not a halfway in the door and a halfway out, not when it's convenient or when we're in the right mood, but devotion is when you're all in, all the time. And when church gets fully submerged in devotion, cities get shaken, lives get transformed, and sinners get saved. So this is a challenge for all of us. What are you devoted to? Is that right, Anne? Yeah. So that's a bit of a whistle-stop tour on the first two areas of that verse. So there might be some areas that I've touched upon that you're like, I need Jesus to help me with this. Oh, I need some of the Holy Spirit. Some of you might have not heard who Jesus was before today. And if you're in that position, come find me. I'd love to tell you the good news of Jesus. And if you ask him, he will reveal himself to you. You might need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, you might be thinking to yourself, oh, when was the last time I said, oh, Holy Spirit, come invade me. It might be that you need to cry out and say, God, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry for not loving my brothers and sisters very well. I'm sorry for not loving you very well. Please help me to love people like you do. It might be that you need a fresh devotion to the Bible. Don't get me wrong, it's hard. It's hard to read it. It's hard to encourage ourselves sometimes to read it. But it's so important and it does give life. And it might be that you need to look at your diary and reorder stuff around Jesus rather than Jesus around stuff. So I want to spend some time praying into these areas. Feel free to sit where you are. If you just want to just let the Holy Spirit wash over you, go for it. If you want to talk to someone about some of the stuff and you want a bit of accountability and say, hey, can you nudge me next week and see how I'm getting on with this? Have those conversations. If you want to come at the front and you just want to kneel before God or you want people to come and pray with you, let's do that business with God now. We've been meeting with the Holy Spirit this morning. He isn't done with us. There's more work for him to do in all of our lives. So let's spend that time now. Worship team, if you want to come up, if you need prayer yourselves, though, please feel free to get prayer at the same time. So let's just be in that space with the Holy Spirit. And there'll be people at the front if you want people to pray with you, or wave at me and I'll come to your seat. If you don't want to come up the front, that's fine. But I'm just going to pray and then we can individually pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that we live in a place where we have access to the word without getting in trouble, without losing our life, without horrific consequences. And Lord, I pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit on us this morning. Lord, would you give us a devotion to your word? Will you stir up a hunger in each of us to want to read more, to want to understand more, to want to listen to good things that will build us up and not distract or discourage us? Lord, would you give us devotion for one another? Lord, as we are two churches meeting together, would you come and would you build unity amongst us? Would you build friendships, good, godly friendships, encouraging friendships among your people? Lord, would you help us in our relationship with you? in our devotion to you. Lord, may we be people who centre our lives around you rather than trying to squish you in here and there. So we just say, come Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Thank you, Jesus.